helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. I keep hearing people talk as if the Constitution will somehow save us. John Francis Mercer, delegate to the Constitutional Convention for Maryland, said, "It is a great mistake to suppose that the paper we are to propose will govern the United States. It is the men whom it will bring into the government and interest in maintaining it that is to govern them. The paper will only mark out the mode and the form. Men are the substance and must do the business." Mr. Mercer is correct. The Constitution does not govern. The people we place in government who do, which is why it's so important not only to vote, but to do so wisely. For if we do not vote wisely, we find ourselves in the situation we have today, where corrupt men corrupt the very government that was created to protect our rights. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and I'm glad you could join me today. I have an interesting conglomeration of articles and ideas and thoughts running around my head that revolve around this idea that the Constitution is merely ink on parchment. It's not a Marvel superhero, right? It's not going to come in with the infamous, you know, superhero stance and start beating up people. It doesn't work that way. It marks the mode. It sets the standards. It is up to we, the people, to make sure those standards are enforced and to make sure the people that we place in government are doing the job, are following the Constitution, are supporting it. The problem is we haven't done that for many decades, I'm afraid. And it gets evidenced more and more as we watch, well, more and more people in government simply ignore the Constitution and make things up as they go along. Take, for example, the recent impeachment of Secretary Mayorkas. Right? Now, by now, you probably know the process, right? The House impeaches. The House has the sole power of impeachment. Once a person is impeached, that impeachment is tried in the Senate. That's the process. Well, what happens? I mean, and I've complained, by the way, I've complained quite a bit and quite vociferously for people in the House, members of the House who refused to, in times past, even consider articles of impeachment because, well, we don't, you know, they're probably not going to do anything in the Senate or it's a distraction. You didn't do your job. When you've got people that are violating the Constitution, that are trampling, that are derelict in their duties, that are acting contrary to their oath of office, and you don't do anything about it, you are part of the problem. So now we finally have an article of impeachment that has some legal merit. I'm not saying it's perfect. It certainly is better than the ones that I've seen Marjorie Taylor Greene put out. And it's better than the ones that were put out in the previous Congress. When the Democrats were impeaching Trump for something that wasn't a crime, that something that never happened. When they were impeaching him for a report generated by a Democratic National Committee and presidential candidate's campaign as opposition research. Right. So we have articles of impeachment. Now it's time to go to the Senate. And tradition says that the Senate tables everything else to deal with the impeachment. If there's somebody in government that's potentially so bad they need to be impeached, well, that takes priority, doesn't it? Well, apparently not. See, according to, I think it was Ted Cruz that tweeted this out. Yeah, Ted Cruz tweeted, "Chuck Schumer is trying to break over 200 years of Senate precedent by tabling the impeachment trial of Alejandro Mayorkas. This would deny the American people the chance to hear the evidence about Biden's lawless open border policy." Now, I already see a problem here because Ted Cruz doesn't see the trial of Mr. Mayorkas as a trial of Mr. Mayorkas, but a trial of Biden's policies. So not surprising. And Mr. Cruz, I know a lot of people love him, but from a constitutional standpoint, I've not been impressed, certainly not of late. But think about it. Imagine, let's say that someone steals your car and the police catch him. And they have evidence. They can go to a grand jury. They convince the grand jury there is sufficient evidence for the trial. And the judge simply says, you know what? I don't think we're just going to table this. We're not actually going to deal with this. Oh, wait a second. That is the way it's working in many of our cities and some of our states, where you've got, you know, where the charges don't matter. We're just not going to bother with a trial. We're just going to pretend it never happened. Now, of course, this may just be rumor. This may just be theater, for all I know. It could be an attempt to pressure the opposition party, the Democrats into doing something. It may be who knows what. But you know what it isn't? It isn't if this is true, it's not the least bit surprising. Think about it. As Washington warned us, right? Dissension, natural to party, spirit of revenge, natural to party politics, is its own frightful despotism. Is this true? Have we gotten to the point where you won't even try a charge against a member of your party, a party faithful? We go back to Mercer. Don't we go back to Mercer? It's a mistake to think the constitutional, it's the men that were put in place. Yes, and today we have women, but it's the men that were put in place. Now, you know what? One of the things I hear frequently is the more things change, the more things stay the same. You see, that quote I gave you from Mercer was on the floor of the Constitutional Convention. Before that, he said something interesting. He said, "What led to the appointment of this convention? The corruption and mutability of the legislative councils of the states." What led to the convention that would replace the Articles of Confederation with the Constitution? He says, "The corruption and mutability of the legislative councils of the states." Well, what about the corruption and mutability of the legislative councils of the United States? If they have become corrupt, if we have allowed corrupt men and women to corrupt that system, and we have done nothing about it, we really shouldn't be surprised about anything that comes out of this. And it just gets harder and harder, not only to trust you. They talk about trust in American institutions being low. It's stuff like this that helps bring that about. But the longer we allow it to happen, the harder it's going to be to change. People look and say there's no hope because we spent decades ignoring the problem. It's the infection that started from a paper cut and now is not only gangrenous, it's septic and it's threatening the entire body, because we refuse to deal with it. But if we continue to refuse to deal with it, it's only going to get worse. For example, do you remember that huge $1.7 trillion spending bill that passed back in December of 2022? Right? So it's a little over a year ago. We had this whole thing with COVID, and Nancy Pelosi came up with this idea of proxy voting. The idea that we didn't have to have people in the Capitol, they could hand over their vote to somebody else, as if this were some, corporate stockholder meeting. I know a lot of people claim the United States is a private corporation. It's not. That's another discussion I've had before, but that's the way she's treating it. You don't actually have to show up to vote. Well, here we are again, a little over a year later, right? Because it was December 2022. We are in March of 24, and a district judge out of the Northern District of Texas, joined by the name of James Wellesley Hendricks, said, there's a problem with that bill. It was never constitutionally passed. You see, the state of Texas sued Merrick Garland in his official capacity as Attorney General because within that monstrosity was what was known as the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act that Texas didn't like. And they amended their complaint saying, hey, wait a second, it was never legally passed. According to the final judgment issued by this judge, final judgment is entered in favor of the state of Texas on count number two of its amended complaint as to the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, because that the Consolidated Appropriations Act 2023 was passed in violation of the Constitution's quorum clause. In other words, the House did not have a quorum as required by the Constitution, therefore they were not legally allowed to pass any legislation. You see, under Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution, we read, each House shall be the judge of the elections, returns, and qualifications of its own members, and a majority of each shall constitute a quorum to do business. It does say, but a smaller number may adjourn from day to day and may be authorized to compel the attendance of members in such manner and under such penalty as the House may provide. But unless they have a majority of each members present, there's no quorum to do business. I'll give you an example. So I'm on the board of a nonprofit out where I live, and by our bylaws, I believe we also have to have a majority present in order to do business, which means if a majority, you know, someone can't simply say, Paul, vote for me. They have to be present. And that's what I said way back in 2022 when this all started. It was actually an interesting question because it doesn't, you know, the way it's worded, it says a majority of each House shall constitute a quorum. Well, if you're not there, then how do we know you've got a majority? It's, you know, the judge finally said, yes, here we are more than a year later. And I want to think of that $1.7 trillion bill. Of all the pork and the nonsense and the craziness that was in that bill, how much of it has been put in place? How much of the money has been spent? How many of the regulations have been created and applied that we now find out, oh, by the way, the only part of the judgment here is the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. So even though a judge has recognized that this was not legally passed, a lot of places will continue to operate under it because, well, first of all, they're not in this district in Texas, so this judgment doesn't apply to them. But also because he said, well, this is only dealing with the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. The rest of it doesn't really matter. And even if it goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says, no, this violates the quorum clause, what all of the money that's already been spent? See, if you're waiting for government to protect you, it's the people in government that let this go forward, that went along with the fake proxy voting, that ignored the quorum clause, that have ignored their oath of office and so much more. And now, only a year later, and years later, if it goes to the Supreme Court, well, people actually get a redress, but there are certain things you cannot undo. What's the old saying? You cannot unring a bell. You cannot unspend the money that was authorized, that was illegally authorized. You cannot undo the regulations. You can undo the regulations. You cannot undo the harm they've done. It's too late. It's why the people we put in government are so important. They're the ones that govern. They need to have an interest in maintaining the Constitution in order to properly govern. And the problem is, guess what? That has not been the case for decades. Just look at the people who run for office. Are they more interested in the Constitution or their own elevation? I've met very, very few. In fact, I don't think I've actually met people that I would say are more interested in the Constitution than their elevation. Some maybe more than others, but I've yet to see one where I've actually met one Granted, I haven't met a lot of members of Congress, but I haven't met one that I would say their oath to the Constitution is superior to their own elevation. In fact, the only places I've ever seen people who put their oath to support, to defend the Constitution above their own benefit are in the military. The men and women that sacrifice careers, lives, families to be in the military to defend us. They are the only men and women that I can honestly say I've met so far face to face that place their maintaining the Constitution above their own elevation and above their own benefit. At least that is until you get to the upper, really upper ranks, right? You get to the flag ranks, the generals, the admirals. I'm not so much there, but then again, I haven't met very many generals and very many admirals. I only think I've met a couple of generals in my life. Now, I have more examples of this kind of craziness, this malfeasance, but before I go there, I have to take a break. Now, hopefully you know that getting a good night's sleep is important to not only leading a healthy lifestyle, but one you can actually enjoy. So if you're tired of being tired all the time, I've got something that'll help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deeply so you can wake up refreshed. That's Healthy Cells REM Sleep Supplement. It is the only sleep supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. Now, since you're an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order of anything from Healthy Cell. Just go to americaoutloud.shop and click on the ad for Healthy Cell. Basically, you use the code OUTLOUD. You can go to healthycell.com, put together whatever order you want, try other great products. Use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, they'll give you 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study, and today we're talking about the fact that the Constitution is nothing but ink on parchment. It is not the Constitution that will save us. It's the people we put in government that govern, and they're the ones we need to keep an eye on. There's an interesting case out of New York, actually, that the Supreme Court recently heard. They heard back on February 27th, and it shows the problem to me at so many levels. Now, the case is about a law in New York that says when, you know, if you've bought a home and you have an escrow account where you pay money every month to the bank as part of your mortgage, and part of that is they hold an escrow to pay things like property tax or insurance. Now, the state of New York requires that the bank pay at least 2% on this money they're holding, right? They're taking They're collecting money from you. They are holding it in an account. Why aren't they paying interest on it? Is the logic behind it. Apparently, there are 13 states that have similar laws. Well, the Bank of New York is challenging that law, and the reason is very interesting to me. See, the Bank of America argues that that federal law preempts these state laws. Now, that's enough to get my attention, right? Because I automatically know only laws of the Constitution, laws of the United States made pursuant to the Constitution, are the supreme law of the land and would supersede a state law. So where does this come from? Well, back around the time of the Civil War, Congress passed a law they called the National Bank Act. Allegedly, it created a system of federally chartered national banks whose power comes strictly from federal law. They are only regulated at the federal level. Now, here's a problem. Tell me, where in the Constitution is the United States authorized to create banks? It's not. See, this is not regulating interstate commerce. This is interfering. This is actually participating in interstate commerce. You're telling me you're chartering a bank. No. So the National Bank Act is unconstitutional. It should have been dealt with back in the 1800s when they said, wait a second, where is Congress authorized to create a charter system for federally chartered banks? It is not. Now, the Bank of America is arguing that because these nationally created banks are a product of the federal government, states can exercise no control over them. But the problem is the federal government doesn't have the legal authority to create such banks. See, they're arguing over the supremacy of federal law. They're not paying any attention to the fact that, wait a second, the Constitution never delegated to Congress the authority to charter such banks. See, this is what gets me so frustrated about our so-called judicial system. And the people that argue to me day in and day out, this is how it works. Guess what? Just because Congress passed a law doesn't mean it's actually law, that it's actually constitutional, that it actually should be enforced. But the problem is either nobody challenged this and the courts didn't look at it until it'd been around so long, everybody just assumed it was okay, or the courts looked at it and said, well, gee, this sounds like a good idea to me. Let's okay this operation. The idea that these oligarchs in black robes get to decide get to override the Constitution with their opinion is not only anathema to a constitutional republic, it is repugnant to every liberty-interested American. So here we have a case before the Supreme Court. Now, I haven't read through or listened to all of the arguments that were heard, right? But I would not be at all surprised, because I've seen this so often before, if nobody in the case argues and says, wait a second, Congress didn't have the authority to charter national banks. They were never delegated the authority. This is not the general welfare of the United States. This is the United States trying to become a business, and they're not authorized to. They're trying to get into business. By the way, it's the same way with federal loans, again, student loans, agricultural loans. It's every time Congress sees something that they want to get in the middle of, but we don't care about the Constitution, and the courts get letting it away with it. And I'm not sure, because this happened back in the Civil War, but I wonder how many states actually said, wait a second, Congress, you have no legal authority to create the National Bank Act. You have no legal authority to charter and regulate banking. Yes, banking may take place across state lines, and you can regulate the actual interstate commerce, but you cannot regulate the bank simply because this bank happens to do business in more than one state. That's not what the Commerce Clause says. And based on my I'll admit it, not exactly scientific study, I wouldn't be surprised if all the attorneys, all the justices, all the their clerks, when they were in law school, never actually studied the language of the Constitution. They only paid attention to what other judges said, which leaves us in this this dystopian future where the Constitution doesn't matter. Laws don't matter because we, the people, keep placing people in government who don't give a rip about the Constitution. Certainly not enough to actually study it and then apply it in their lives. I talk about members of Congress. Most of them are lawyers or at least attended law school, at least the ones I'm aware of. And you know, people say, Paul, why won't you be why don't you consider running for Congress? You don't want me in Congress because I know the Constitution and I want to follow the Constitution. Which means pretty much every piece of legislation I see, I say no to. My default answer is no. You've got to show me where it's a power delegated to the United States. And then and only then, you have to show me where it enhances the freedom and liberty. It protects the rights of the American people as a whole, not some individual group at the expense of others. And trust me, nobody really wants that. At least there are very few people, I should say, that really want that in Congress. Do you know how I know that? Because the few people who have run on the, that I am aware of, who have run on that very same idea of the Constitution supersedes everything, they almost never win. And in fact, the ones that claim it rarely actually live up to it. And they keep getting reelected. Now, it's another week, so there has to be another abuse by the FBI. It just seems automatic. So actually, I believe took place last week. I think it was last Tuesday. Investigative reporter Steve Baker said that after months of delay, federal authorities have officially informed him, or I should say his legal team, that there is a signed warrant for his arrest and that he is to self-surrender for some alleged crimes he committed on January 6th, and he's supposed to surrender in Dallas, Texas, last Friday morning. Now, this is where things start to get a little aggravating. See, according to Baker, the FBI expects him to turn himself over at 7 a.m. on Friday, at which point federal officials will transport him to the Dallas courthouse, where he can meet his attorney at 9:30, and then an unnamed federal prosecutor reportedly told Baker's attorney that he is to wear shorts and sandals during his surrender. Now, let me stop for a second here. You want him to voluntary surrender for what is still, by the way, a sealed warrant. In other words, they claim they have a warrant. I don't know if Mr. Baker's attorney has seen the warrant. According to Mr. Baker, they don't know what he's being charged with. Let me say that again. They're asking him to surrender to arrest without knowing what he's being charged with. That's questionable to begin with. But here's the other part. They want him to show up for court. Because remember, he's going to turn himself into the FBI, and then he's going to be sent to the courthouse, and they want him wearing shorts and sandals. Why do they want him wearing shorts and sandals? Could it be it's their intention to dress him in prison garb, and they don't want to have to deal with like a suit and tie and all that? Could it be? Is it just another example of an attempt to humiliate him and play to the cameras? In other words, to boost the government's case by making him look like a criminal. This is, by the way, is after months of the FBI saying, "Listen, we're gonna come and arrest you," but it kept getting delayed. We want you to turn yourself in, but it keeps getting delayed. Now, Mr. Baker is supposed to have a hearing before a federal magistrate at 10 a.m. last Friday. And again, I'm recording this a little ahead of time, so that's why the dates may seem a little strange. But this whole thing stinks to high heaven. Now, according to the feds, they claim they have no intention of detaining Mr. Baker. Well, then why do they care what he's wearing? And that the charges against him are nonviolent misdemeanors. Yet, according to Blaze Media, neither the Blaze nor Mr. Baker or his attorneys have been informed of the specific counts he's facing. This certainly sounds like a violation of the Sixth Amendment, which says that in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall be is to be informed of the nature and cause of his accusation. Why won't they tell him before they arrest him? Now, basically, what they're saying is, yeah, we'll tell you, you know, when you show up to turn yourself in, we'll give you the arrest warrant. We'll give you all that information then. That's when they're going to unseal it, right? According to Baker wrote on X that technically they are still under seal until the warrant is served. Now, all else is yet unknown. He said, by this weekend, I will officially be a misdemeanor domestic journal terrorist or something like that. Does that sound like a free and fair country? Does that sound like a system where you are innocent until proven guilty? Now, listen, I like the idea that rather than raiding him with a SWAT team like the FBI has wanted to do, they've asked him to simply turn himself in, right? But if you're going to ask me to self-surrender, what do you care what I'm wearing? That's what I want to know. That just seems weird. First of all, I don't trust the FBI or the Department of Justice as far as I could throw either of their buildings. I mean, if you're not planning on detaining him, why do you want him in shorts and sandals? You're going to put him, again, are you going to put him in front of a magistrate in shorts and sandals? I don't think so. Which means if you're going to give him clothing to wear, why are you deciding what clothing he's wearing unless you plan on detaining him? I would keep my eyes open. Again, I've recorded this a little bit beforehand, so hopefully maybe there's some more news. And I'll be keeping an eye out, but please watch this. This is a journalist. And yes, he was at the Capitol on January 6th, and he was reporting what was going on. And apparently, because you don't know for sure, he's being charged with a misdemeanor by the FBI for reporting on the news of what was going on in the Capitol on January 6th. And they are so concerned about this misdemeanor that they want him to show up in shorts and sandals under the claim they're not going to take him into custody. They just want him to be humiliated. See, it's the people in government that keep letting this happen. I want to know where, I do not know where Mr. Baker lives. I'd like to know where the attorney general of that state says, what are you doing to one of our citizens? Whatever state you live in, you are also a citizen of that state. Now, maybe he lives in D.C., in which case, where's his congressman going? What the heck are you doing? He doesn't have a congressman. He has a non-voting congressman, right? Because that's they gave them, you know, people that can sit in the House, but they don't actually have a vote. They don't have any senators. But why are people saying, wait a second, why are you treating what you admittedly say is a nonviolent person that's innocent until proven guilty? Why are you treating him this way? Months of delay, bad enough. You want him to self-surrender again in Dallas? Not okay. I prefer that to a SWAT raid. But you're going to have him show up in shorts and sandals to stand in front of a federal magistrate? That's just not kosher. And by the way, they have no constitutional authority to demand that. Personally, since they said they have no intentions to detaining him, this is not a custodial situation. And in fact, if they're not planning on detaining him, why do they have to surrender to the FBI officials who then will transport him to the Dallas courthouse? Why can't he just go to the courthouse? This, ladies and gentlemen, this stinks to high heaven. And I'm disturbed that the people we hire to represent us at the state and the federal level don't appear to be doing anything about this abuse of a fellow citizen. a journalist, someone who's trying to tell us what's going on. If we continue to put up with this, what happens when they come for you? See, at least Mr. Baker, he's part of Blaze News. He can get his message out through his employer. What about you? It makes you start thinking about putting things in place so that if the FBI does something crazy to me, news will get out, messages will get out, because I don't trust them to actually follow the Constitution, much less the law. Now, I have to take another break. Before I go, though, please consider this. Where do you get your news? Do you just kind of sit there? I just heard something where, I forget the number, a large percentage of Gen Z get their news from TikTok, not an insignificant percentage, or X, or Instagram. Is that really where you're getting your news from? Gossip? I mean, we used to call this water cooler talk. I recommend you head over to AmericaOutloud.news. And I recommend you head to other places as well. But AmericaOutloud.news should be in your list, as it is in mine. I go there every day to get news and information. But I want you to do something. See, how many people hadn't heard about Mr. Baker's plight because people weren't talking about it? So please, go to AmericaOutloud.news. Find the articles, the stories, the podcasts, the videos that are telling you important things, that are sharing important information, or that are explaining things in a way you've never heard of before, and share them. It's the act of sharing that helps secure our liberty, and it's the act of sharing that allows us to enjoy the blessings of that liberty.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health and supporting gut health to reducing the appearance of wrinkles and even improving mind, mood, and energy. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX. Because it works.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study, and I'm reminding people that the Constitution is just ink on parchment. It's up to we the people and the people we hire to represent us in government to keep that document in force, to put the substance behind the words on that parchment. And, well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been failures. Now, I've already talked about what's going on with the Mayorkas impeachment and with the FBI and whatnot. I'm going to switch gears a little bit and look at something else. So there's a couple stories revolving around the Supreme Court. They've already heard oral arguments on whether or not the president is above the law. Well, that's what presidential immunity is. It means you can do whatever you want. You are above the law. I'm sure we've all seen a TV show or a movie where someone has diplomatic immunity and they can't be charged for the crimes they commit. Now, sometimes it's petty things like in New York, I forget how many millions of dollars New York City is owed in parking fines from people with diplomatic immunity when they show up to do their business at the UN. That's petty. What happens when it's a more serious crime? Rape, assault, murder. See, if they have immunity, they cannot be prosecuted. There are no consequences. Therefore, there's no reason for them to actually pay attention to the law. Well, if presidents have immunity, if they can break the law while in office and not be held accountable, even after the fact, even after they're out of office, I contend they don't have immunity when they're in office, much less have it be continued once they are out of office. But the court's going to figure that out. Now, I try not to. I have a hard time reading the court. I get my assumptions, but I don't trust them because, well, we're dealing with human beings. But see, that's not the only one. There's another case coming up about whether or not bump stocks violate federal law. Now, again, we're going to come back to a little bit. We got a lot going on. If you're not familiar with what a bump stock is, you're familiar with a semi-automatic firearm, right? So you think of a semi-automatic rifle. You pull the trigger. One shot is fired. You release the trigger. You pull it again. Another single shot is fired, right? It's semi-automatic. It's not what you see in TV. It's not, you know, that's a fully automatic. They're very hard to get in the United States. They're highly regulated. But the idea of a semi-automatic is you pull the trigger once, you get one round, that's it. Now, there are a lot of ways to do this faster than you would probably think. One of them is called a bump stock. Now, the way a bump stock works is when you pull the trigger and the gun goes off, there's a recoil. It pushes the gun back, the rifle back into your shoulder. What the bump stock does is when that system recoils, it pulls the trigger off your finger. All right? It pulls the trigger back off of your finger, resetting it so that when it comes back out of recoil, it fires again. Right? So it does allow you to fire more quickly. It's not a machine gun. It's not an automatic weapon, like a lot of people claim. It allows you to fire a firearm faster. By the way, you don't need a bump stock to do this. All you need, really, if you're willing to shoot from the hip, all you need is a pair of pants with a belt loop on it. No, I'm not kidding. You can take a piece of string and put it on your belt loop and on the trigger guard, so that when the rifle recoils, it pulls your finger off the trigger, and when it comes back, it fires again. But of course, people go absolutely ape about these. Why? Well, because one dude in Las Vegas, in a mass murder action, happened to use, among other things, a bump stock. So, of course, this meant that immediately that people who are out to get guns, to get rid of guns, said, we got to get rid of these bump stocks because they're dangerous. Turns them into machine guns. We don't care that we're lying. We're going to do them. Now, Donald Trump supported the ATF creating what's called a ban on bump stocks. It was called the bump stock ban. And that's, I believe, because of political pressure. Now, radio show host Michael Cargill sued the ATF over its 2018 interpretation, alleging that it violated portions of the Administrative Procedures Act. Now, he lost in two lower court decisions. The Fifth Circuit ultimately overturned them in bank and said, en banc, and in a 13-3 vote said no, that an act of Congress is required to prohibit bump stocks. Okay, problem number one, a bump stock doesn't change a firearm from something other than an arm, right? The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It does not say shall not be infringed unless they're really scary, or unless they shoot too fast, or unless whatever you want. A firearm is an arm by definition. It is a weapon of offense or armor for defense that we use to protect ourselves. Now, whether it's a fully automatic, a semi-automatic, a single shot, a pump action, lever action, bolt action, doesn't matter. It is an arm. It is a weapon of offense. It is used to defend, people use it to defend themselves. The fact that the military uses them doesn't make them any less armed. In fact, it's more the reason why we need them, because a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. That's what the Second Amendment says. Well, how do you have a well-regulated militia if that militia doesn't have the arms to practice with to become well-regulated, meaning well-practiced, well-rehearsed, well-able to do, to function? So we have a problem right off the back in that Mr. Cargill's case, that it's not that bump stocks cannot be banned. It's that they weren't banned properly. Sorry, this is a blatant violation of the Constitution of the United States. In fact, the National Firearms Act, which regulated and taxes automatic weapons and short-barreled rifles and other things, is also a blatant violation of the Constitution. Again, I'm not surprised, because the judges and justices on the courts, most likely, if my recent, again, questionably scientific study, I asked attorneys and judges and people who went to law school, did you study the Constitution or constitutional law? I've had one man in the last 5 years tell me he studied the Constitution. Almost everybody studies the opinion of judges, which we euphemistically call constitutional law. But since we've allowed them to get away with this, since we have not impeached judges for violating their oath to support the Constitution. Now, that's a tricky one, right? I admit that you don't want to impeach a judge simply because you don't like a decision in a specific case. But when you've got a history of violating your oath, of placing the opinion of other judges above the supreme law of the land, I'm sorry, that is bad behavior, and they can be removed from that. And the way we do that in this country is an impeachment. Why should I trust that a court that has routinely allowed similar types of restrictions to decide in violation of the Constitution? And why should I expect them to decide any better when it comes to whether or not a president has immunity, whether or not the FBI can claim they have a signed warrant and demand that someone show up in a certain place at a certain time to be transported in a certain dress to be transported to the courtroom to be seen before a magistrate? Why do we trust them? You see, the state should be standing up and saying, the state of Texas should be standing up and saying, sorry, FBI. You don't have the right to tell. You want him at the courthouse, he'll be at the courthouse. If you don't want the scene of arresting him, I appreciate not sending the ATF. Why can't he just meet you outside the courthouse in regular business attire? And why are we trying to ban these bump stocks? Because people find them scary. The very thing that makes them scary is what makes them effective. Think of it this way. Imagine you're home late at night. There's pounding at your door. You walk in the living room, you turn on the lights, your door bursts open, and a gang of hoodlums comes in and starts shooting up the place. That's a bad situation, and not, by the way, unheard of. Home invasions are not uncommon in the United States. Now, sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's three or four or five. But imagine if, instead of standing there with your semi-automatic handgun, trying to deal with these intruders that are threatening the lives of you and your family. What if you had an AR-15 with a bump stock? Sure, it's not going to be as accurate because that type of fire is inherently less accurate than an aimed shot. But you know what? It certainly should put the fear of God into these people that just broke into your house. And it probably could do a lot of damage to them very quickly. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. I'm not holding my breath because I don't see the history and I don't see the people doing anything about it. Now, while we're talking about the Constitution being incompatible, remember the mRNA shots? And you remember me telling you that the CDC doesn't legally exist? It has no authority to require or encourage or promote that you become a guinea pig in a medical experiment? Well, apparently, Epoch Times and some others have unearthed a secret report, they call it a secret report, from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This report reveals that almost 500,000 Americans age 0 to 44 died from the side effects of the COVID mRNA injections between early 2021 and October of 2022. Now, the COVID data tracker on the CDC website no longer gives total deaths. Anything except you can get the last week, the last 3 months, or since it was a January 2020. All right, so you can't get this stuff isolated. So I didn't look it up. But according to the CDC, which we already know has inflated numbers, there were 1.1 million deaths they attribute to COVID-19 since January of 2020. And now they're saying this report says 500,000 that have died specifically from side effects of the mRNA injection in just about a year and a half. Now, those are some scary numbers. But it goes back to the question of the Constitution says they couldn't force you to take the jab. The Constitution said that the Congress couldn't waive liability. The Constitution says that, the Constitution said a lot of things about COVID, but it didn't matter because they violated the Constitution and we, the people, and the people we hired did nothing. So what can we do? I mean, I try to always answer that question at the end. What can we do? Well, the first thing we have to do is recognize there's a problem. And the problem is that, part of it is the American people have not been educated on the Constitution. Now, you may think, well, Paul, I mean, that would require a law degree. No, it doesn't. The Constitution was written so an 18th century farmer can understand it. I'm sure the average person can as well. We don't teach it in school anymore, not even law school. So you're not taught it in school, but that's a dependency anyway. It should be our responsibility. As John Jay said, every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. It's our responsibility as citizens to read and study the Constitution. Why? Twofold. One, so that when we hire people to be in government, when we hire representatives, when we evaluate whether or not they're doing their job, if we don't, they take an oath to support the Constitution. If we don't know what the Constitution says, how do we know if they're doing their job right? It's as simple as that. The other reason is when they don't do their job, when the government violates the Constitution and violates our rights, so that we can not only know how to stand up and defend our rights, how we assert them, how we put those forward. I was talking to a gentleman the other day who he was having a problem with his rights, and the biggest problem actually was the way he was trying to assert them didn't really work because it was disorganized, it was jumbled. And I helped him, I hope, organize it in a way that will help him defend his rights. But I'm not talking about, we need the Democrats or the donkeys or the elephants. No, it's not about the donkeys and the elephants. It's about you knowing the Constitution and then using that information to determine who you will support to be in government, and then how you hold them accountable to their oath of support to the Constitution. Now, you can always learn more about the Constitution at the website, constitutionstudy.com. That's what it is there for. That's what we created it for. You can ask a question. You can join a mailing list. You can even support the work that we're doing. I'm working on some more projects that I hope we'll be able to get off the ground soon. It's been a little crazy around here, but I'm hoping. You can also check out the Patriot Program. These are people who are training to both be educated in the Constitution on how we can share and communicate this information, and then how do we use this information. It's there for you. Go to constitutionstudy.com/patriots. Check it out. You can try the boot camp. The boot camp is absolutely free. If you like it and you want to join us, we look forward to meeting you. If you're not interested, that's okay. We still would like you to have a little bit of education. Speaking of education, I hope you'll come back and learn more at the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. All the episodes go to podcast, generally a day or two after they're heard on Talk Radio. So if you can't listen at 4 p.m., you can listen whenever you want. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews. It helps other people find this information as well, so that they too can join us in being constitutionally educated and sound citizens prepared to defend and assert their rights. You can find all the links that you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But that information, that knowledge, isn't powerful until you use it, both by you joining and by taking those links and sharing them. If you wish to enjoy the blessings of liberty, you need to share them with friends and family. And you do that by sharing those links and this program.